Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? You guys doing all right? All right, so before we start, I want to let you guys know that, you know, I've heard the comments and the jokes about since I found out that I was preaching that we would be getting out of church early today. So I want to let you guys know that you have inspired me to preach about 45 minutes to an hour today. No, I'm just joking. To be honest with you, I'm before you today with a heavy heart. I received a call about 8:30 this morning from my mother letting me know that my uncle passed this morning. So if you would, just please keep my family in your thoughts and prayers as we go through this difficult time. And please pray with me. Father, I come to you today thanking you for all that you are, for your grace and your mercy endureth forever. But Father, I come to you today with a heavy heart. But I pray that you reach down and you quiet my mind and you open up my heart and you pour out your spirit upon me. Speak to me and speak through me so that I may fulfill your purpose. All these things I pray in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So I find it interesting the way that God works. I find it very interesting and comforting that the message that Dave gave last week would be exactly what I needed to hear to prepare me for my situation this week. And I pray that the message I bring to you today helps you as you go forward and find yourself in similar situations. So we started a series a couple weeks ago called What Keeps You Up at Night, and we're going to continue along in that same series. But today, just like usual, my part is going to be rather personal. I've spoken to you guys before, and I've told you that I have never delivered a message that wasn't meant for me first, and today will be no different. So to receive the message today, we're actually going to look at the book of Exodus in chapters 3 and 4 at the story of Moses. Now, I assume that most all of us have heard the story of Moses. But we're going to look at chapters 3 and 4 because it's the beginning of his story that I really want to be specific about. We know about Moses as a baby. You know, Pharaoh wanted all the children killed. Moses is sent down the river. Pharaoh's sister finds him. He's taken into the Egyptian family. We know all these things, okay? We know about Moses having to run from Egypt into the wilderness for 40 years. We know all of these things. We know about the burning bush. We know about the conversation between Moses and God. And oftentimes in the church, when we talk about the excuses that Moses made to God, we most specifically bring up his excuse of his inability to speak. And we simplify what was really going on with Moses in that conversation with God. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. See, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and he tells him that he's heard the cry of Israel. He has seen their oppression, and he has come down to send Moses to Pharaoh to tell him to let his people go. The first thing Moses says to God is, "Who am I?" Have you ever found yourself in a situation in life where the task or the purpose that you are called on to fulfill will cause you to have to face at least the skeletons that are in your closet? And if you do not have to face the skeletons that are in your closet, you may have to face those who either know about your skeletons, helped you put your skeletons there, or caused your skeletons. And at that point in time, there's an anxiety that wells up in your soul that makes you feel that you are not prepared to face those demons of your past. So I asked you, can you see that that's where Moses was when he asked the Lord, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and stare down the demon of my past? Who am I that I should go and face the children of Israel and face those skeletons that I thought I ran away from and locked firmly in the closet?" But God does not disqualify Moses from the calling simply for asking that question. No. God tells him, "Surely I will be with you." Now, we like to believe in our faith today that that would be enough, that God promises that he's going to be with you and the anxiety should go away and you should be ready to go move forward and fulfill your purpose. But Moses, just like most of us, if we're being honest, did not take that as enough. He continued to push God, and he says to God, so I go to the children of Israel, and I tell them that the God of their fathers sent me, and what am I supposed to tell them if they ask me your name? So God does something that leading up into the book of Exodus, he had not done. He gives Moses a name. He did not give his name to Abraham, who is the start of the children of Israel. He did not give his name to Jacob or Isaac either. But to Moses, he gives a name. But not only does he give a name, he tells Moses specifically who to go talk to. And he promises them that they will believe Moses simply by his word. And even beyond that, he gives Moses a way to make sure that the children of Israel are provided for as they leave captivity. Now, normally we would think that the promises of God would be enough, correct? Not for Moses. It's not enough for Moses. So Moses asked God, surely, when I go to the children of Israel, what am I to do when they say that you didn't appear to me? What am I to do when they say that you didn't send me? So God relents to Moses again. And he gives Moses all kinds of signs. He tells him to take the staff that's in his hand, throw it on the ground, and Moses does. It turns into a serpent that scares Moses. Pick it up, and it turns back into a staff. He tells Moses to put his hand inside of his cloak, and he does, and he pulls it out, and it's leprous. He puts it back in, and he pulls it out whole. God performs these wonderful signs for Moses, not to do for Pharaoh, but to do for the children of Israel. Now, what's interesting to me about God giving Moses these signs is that God has already promised Moses that Israel would believe him by his word. But because Moses had some doubt, God gave him signs. Now, this isn't simply just Moses questioning God. What's going on with Moses right here is a fear of rejection. See, Moses has already tried to help the children of Israel once when he killed the Egyptian, and they rejected him. As we all know, fear of rejection can cause you to miss out on a lot of opportunities. Fear of rejection can cause you to stop and keep from moving into your purpose or your destiny. Fear of rejection can keep you from asking out that other person that you happen to like. Fear of rejection can keep you from seeking that promotion. It can keep you from moving forward to the people that God has sent you to. And this is where Moses has found himself. God has given him an answer to it, but it wasn't enough for Moses. So Moses comes up with another excuse. Look, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of tongue. I've never been a good speaker. They will not listen to me. So God says to Moses, who made man's mouth? Who made the deaf? Who made the mute? I will be with you and I will teach you what to say. How many of us would love to have a promise directly from God telling us that he will teach us what to say and do? For how many of us would that be enough to go ahead and move on to our destiny and our purpose? But it was not enough for Moses. Because the final thing Moses said to God was, just please, send somebody else. What Moses is feeling right here is doubt. And all of this really comes from a thing that I like to call the imposter syndrome. See, Moses is 80 years old by the time that God calls him. He has spent the first 40 years of his life inside of the Egyptian royal family, the same family that was oppressing the people of God. So much to the point that when he fled Egypt into Midian, they thought he was Egyptian. He was steeped in Egyptian culture. He knew Egyptian religion. He dressed as an Egyptian. He looked like an Egyptian, walked and talked like an Egyptian, and that's who they thought he was. And he kept that identity for 40 more years, as he hid from those skeletons. And now here is this God calling him out of the wilderness. Go to my people, face your skeletons. What kind of anxiety would that cause to have to go to your family and tell them that you are not the person that you led them to believe that you are? Moses tried to excuse himself and hide from God because Moses thought that he knew who he was. I come to you today to let you know that I identify with this part of Moses' story. See, a couple of months ago, I found myself tossing and turning in bed late into the midnight hours. I couldn't find any rest. I threw the covers off the bed and I couldn't find any rest. I threw some pillows off the bed and I just couldn't find any rest. I couldn't get any peace of mind. Anxiety had taken control of my body. Fear and doubt had clouded my mind, and I tossed and turned until I found myself laying on my face. And at that point, I began to speak to the Lord. I told him, God, I just cannot fulfill your purpose. I cannot go preach to these people. Do you see who I am? Do you really know the things that I have done in the streets? Did you really hear the way that I used to curse your name? Do you know how dirty my spirit is? If you are really listening and you are really listening, if you are really looking, you would go and you would call on somebody else. I can't do this, Father. I'm not the man that you think I am. I'm not as educated as these other preachers out here that are leading churches. I'm not the man that you think I am. I still have bitterness in my heart that I'm trying to get through, Lord. I'm not the man that you think I am. I have problems in my own home. How can I go advise somebody else about theirs, Father? I'm not the man that you think I am. When I hear your words, it jumbles up in my brain, Father. I cannot teach the way that Dave does, and I'll never be a powerful preacher the way that my father was. I can't do it, Father. Go and send somebody else. Thank God that he does not listen to men. Because as soon as I said the word else, I heard a voice thundering unto my soul, and it said, Reggie. I stopped and I got real still. You know the way that we do when we think we hear something, but we got to make sure because we don't want to be crazy, right? So I listened real hard and I hear it again, Reggie. So I pull the blankets back up on the bed and I try to get a little bit deeper because I know what's coming. I'm trying to hide and I hear Otis. I say, here I am. He says, you're sitting here spending so much time trying to tell me what you've done. So much time trying to tell me what you've destroyed. So much time trying to tell me who you are. That I think you've forgotten who I am. I am the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac too. I am the God that sent Moses to free my children of Israel. I am the God that protected Daniel in the lion's den. I am the God that sent my son down here to this earth to die for you. Do not call unclean what I have made clean by my blood. I have called you to my purpose. And since I am who I am, I tell you who you are. You are my child. You are my chosen vessel. There is nothing in this world that you cannot face as long as you hold tight to my hand. It does not matter what the world says about you. Do not let them call you an imposter, because then they are calling me an imposter. If they reject you, it's because they first rejected me. There is nothing that you will accomplish in this world separate from my power. I brought you this message today because there's somebody else who's been suffering with these same feelings and thoughts. You think because you are not as educated as other people or because you do not speak as well that it takes away your ability to reach the children of God. You think because you have dirt and grime in your past that you are unredeemable, but Christ has already come and hung on the cross once to die for your sins, and that's all that needed to happen. You think that the world will not receive you if you step into the change that God has put forth in your life. But I come here today to tell you, it does not matter what this world changes into. There is no darkness that's too dark for the light of God. There is no thing that you cannot get through if you do not hold tight to the hand of God. And most importantly, no matter what the world tells you, the education system, folks that don't go to church or believe or anybody else, God does not simply call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Let us pray. Father, I come to you again, thanking you once again for all that you are, that you do not see us the way that we see ourselves or the way that the world sees us, but you see us with perfect vision. You see who you have created us to be, and you allow us the chance to move forth into our destiny to fulfill your purpose. I thank you that you are a perfect and an awesome God. I thank you that I cannot hide from you. I thank you that you did not turn your face away from me when I was not willing to accept you. I know that you can fix all things, Father. Broken hearts, fear of rejection, imposter syndromes. You can handle all things and make us who you want us to be. You are the potter. I am the clay, Father. Mold us by your hands. All things we pray in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.